Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 10 through 15. 10 through 15. And so I need your attention right here on the screen. Let's go there right now. And I've entitled this evening's message, The Power of His Resurrection. The Power of His Resurrection. And so, my friends, let me just pause there, because next month is the Passover feast, and the Christian world celebrates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, quote-unquote Easter. But I like to call it Resurrection Day. And so I'm excited about this soon coming event. And I'm praying about that we would do a good night, a Good Friday service. A Good Friday service on a Friday there at the place where we're attending right now in beautiful Bonita. So pray about that. But I'm excited about this message. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus, who hung on the cross, died on Passover. And then he was buried in the tomb during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then he rose again on the third day on the Feast of First Fruits. And he lives forevermore. And so God has demonstrated his love toward us, that through the resurrection, you and I have power. You and I have a destiny now. God has given us a providence to our life. And many are called. Many of us are called. And we're walking the course that he has set before us. So we're going to pick this chapter up where Paul explains that no matter what he obtained in this world, all he wanted now is Christ. And that should be our desire, because we know that this world is fading away. But we need Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? I want to know all about that I could know about him, his glory, his attributes, his power, his anointing, and what he's doing in your life and my life. He's doing a marvelous thing. So let's go there right now. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, The Power of His Resurrection. The Power of His Resurrection. So let's start with verse 10. Here we go. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12 and 13. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of what which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In verse 14 and 15, I press, say that with me at home, saints of God, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Praise God, praise God. So, my friends, let's start breaking this down. And let's go back now to verse 10. And the Word of God says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, the word for know here is the same form used in the previous couple of verses, referring to personal experiential knowledge. To know Christ is more than merely to know facts or doctrine about him. It should be the goal of every believer, saints of God, to know Christ more fully and personally. And that can be a lifelong process, a lifelong process, praise God. And for some of us, we've been walking for a while, praise God, and it's been a joy for me. I hope it's been a joy for you, praise God. Paul also, saints of God, wanted to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead, is available to all believers, can I get an amen, to raise them from spiritual death now and from their physical death in the future, praise God. Look what it says right here, who Paul wrote to the Ephesians church. He wrote in verse Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, look at this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 21, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is all the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? And look what he also wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. This is key now. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I want to pause right there for a moment. I want you to see that verse in 9. Look at this. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Let me just pause there for a moment. How many times have you heard me throughout many of my sermons, that when a heart repents and cries out to God for forgiveness and realize that we are wretched and that God will show us that we need him, we come to a place called repentance. And once repentance connects with God, now he applies his blood to wash us from the original sin, the sin of Adam. And so once the blood has covered us, now the Holy Spirit can live inside of our being. Why? Because you got to remember, God will not live in anything that's unholy, anything that has not been cleansed. He cannot live in darkness. Even though we have a body of flesh, we are washed in the blood. So he comes inside of us, and what is surrounding us is the blood. And so, he's not contaminated with us while he's in us. This is so mind-boggling. But you got to catch what I'm saying. Because once the Spirit comes in, that's when we know, because it bears witness with our soul, that means we are born from above. We're born again. But look at the key. Look at the key to this right here in verse 9. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Did you catch that? So, anyone can say, yeah, I believe. Anyone can say a sinner's prayer. Anyone can say, oh, yeah, I know the man upstairs. But have you been truly born again and have the Spirit living in you? Because God says clearly in his word, if we don't have, or any human that does not have the Spirit of God living in them, it's clear than day, he is not his. Wow. Let's go back and finish this verse right here. But, good news, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What does that mean? That means the dead in Christ shall rise first, and God will transform that dead body into a body like His and reunite their soul and spirit. But then, us who are still alive and remain, we will be transformed, and we will have that brand new body, and then God will reunite us, hallelujah, with our soul and spirit, with that brand new body. Look at that. But if the Spirit of Him, let's read that again. I got to read that again. But if the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That is plain as day. Praise God. You see, Saints, Paul, he wanted to know this power personally and experientially. For that power assures Christians of their justification and of their regeneration as they identify with Christ in the resurrection. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this other verse of Scripture right here in Romans. Romans 4, 23 and 25. Now, it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Look at verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Wow. Wow. You see, that's why Jesus had to die and He had to rise again. Because when He died, He went down in hell and He took death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And defeated it at the cross. Now when He rose again, now because of His shed blood, you and I now can have eternal life. You and I now can live with Him forever. He had to be delivered into ungodly men and women to be crucified on the cross so that when He rose again, He could bring us life, brand new life. How many are so blessed at home? Hallelujah, what God did for us. Amen. Praise God. Look at this next scripture right here. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. That means you are still in your sins. Wow. Wow. Let me just pause there. You see, He had to have risen again. Because if He did not rise from the dead, you and I would be men and women most miserable. But we have the joy of the Lord. Because when we came to Jesus by faith, we repented. His blood covered us. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we're filled with unspeakable joy and full of glory. Hallelujah. God has empowered you. God has empowered me. Hallelujah. Now we're able to intercede. Now we're able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You and I now can preach the gospel with the anointing of God, and the seeds won't fall on deaf ears because God will quicken them. God will cause them to believe, hallelujah, and draw Him to the cross, draw her to the cross through your testimony, through our faith in Christ, through the power of the resurrection, hallelujah. God, hallelujah, is using you and me for such a time as this, like no other time, with great power and of anointing. We need to get out of our comfort zone now. We need to go in the highways and the byways. You and I need to go and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah, give them a word. Give them a word of wisdom. Hallelujah, encourage them that they can make it, that everything's going to be all right with Christ, and that God's able to restore. God's able to deliver. God is able, hallelujah, to raise the dead. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. That's the God we serve. This is the God that you and I have known now for all these years since you've been saved. For me, 33 years. And God is steadfast. Hallelujah. He's never changed on me. Hallelujah. We changed. Some of us changed with the culture. But I'm here to let you know. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. In the book of Amos, He says, I change not. The Lord changes not. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want us to look at this verse of scripture right here in Romans. Look at this. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in the newness of life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just ask this. Are you walking in the newness of life? Has God did something miraculous in your life? Can you honestly proclaim? Can you honestly testify? Can you honestly say, since I've given my heart to God, that I'm a new creature? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can you testify and say that God is transforming my mind, that God is blessing my life, that God is fulfilling those things that He has desired before the foundation of the world? Can you come boldly and proclaim Him and testify how good He is? You see, there's many Christians that have no clue what God has done for them, only because they've really never had a real encounter with Him. But those who have encountered the risen Christ, those who have surrendered their life, repented of their sins, washed in the blood, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, can testify without a shadow of a doubt. There's nothing that could move us. There's nothing that can shake us. There's nothing that could come our way. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that will come against us, God will condemn in judgment. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We praise you. Hallelujah. For you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Let me just calm down now, and let's get back to our word. Look what Paul wrote right here in Colossians. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him what? From the dead. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in Colossians 3 and 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Saints of God, that should be our desire, is to seek the things of above. Why? Because these things down below are perishing. They're fading away. They're fads. They come and go. The culture changes by the week. But I'm here to let you know that God will never change on us. He will always be steadfast in our life. Hallelujah. And He will see us through. God will make sure that you and I, saints of God, will complete the task, the assignment that He has given you and I. And that assignment is to glorify Him, to magnify Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, saints, Paul also wanted to learn what it means to suffer with Him and sharing His death. Paul was not referring to sharing Christ's death on the cross, that suffering could not be shared because it was Christ's alone. But Paul wanted to participate with Christ as a believer in the suffering for the gospel. And even as Paul had already suffered greatly for the gospel, he was in prison, he was beaten, he was chained, he was robbed. The man went through torture for the gospel and was suffering in prison at the writing of this letter. And he still wanted to know firsthand what it meant to suffer for Christ. Praise God. Praise God for Paul. Hallelujah. I thank God for that man, who God radically changed. Remember, he was Saul of Tarsus. Remember, he was on his way to Damascus to round up more Christians, to crucify them, until God knocked him off his beast. Praise God, blinded him. Hallelujah. And did the miraculous. You see, God had to knock up, he had to just shove us off our beast. Many of us were wayward. We were headed to the wrong direction. But God, hallelujah, in His grace, God in His mercy, God in His foreknowledge, God in His providence, called you and I out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. And now, hallelujah, we have been redeemed. Hallelujah, thank you, God. Not only redeemed, but you and I are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You and I have been chosen before the foundation of the world. So now we need to walk in this grace. We need to walk in His love. We need to glorify Him and magnify Him. Hallelujah. You see, saints of God, Paul, he was willing to experience more in order to serve Christ, who had suffered so much for him. Look what it says right here. He wrote this to the Colossians here in 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Can we honestly say that? A lot of us don't even like a headache. We're running for the Tylenol cabinet right away. And it's just a headache. This man endured suffering, true suffering, so that you and I, look, we would have the Word of God for us to grow in the grace of knowledge, to share with others, to say yes and amen to God's promises toward us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, saints, believers share his death as they die to sin and to the old nature. How many of you can honestly say you're learning how to die to self, die to sin? You see, in a transaction we cannot completely understand, when Jesus died on the cross, we died to our former life. Wow! Christ took our punishment on himself, saints of God. So God looks at us as though we have died to sin. And then we have been raised along with Christ to the newness of life. Praise God. Praise God. I can honestly say, saints of God, that 33 years ago, this journey that I've been on, it's been a glorious journey. Have I had setbacks? Yes. Have I faced disappointments? Yes. Have I been afflicted in my body? Yes. But through it all, hallelujah, the joy of the Lord has always been my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, praise God. And we need to encourage one another and let them know that you can make it. You can make it. We need to be the encourager. We need to be the one that would lift them up to the Lord and pray and intercede on their behalf. Those who are weak in their faith, those who are losing strength, those who have no answers to life's predicaments. But you and I, hallelujah, we could come alongside by the power and the anointing of God and give them a word, give them wisdom, understanding, and ask Jesus to heal them. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. He is worthy, worthy to be praised. Amen. Praise God. So saints, when we're united with Christ by trusting in him, we experience the power that raised him from the dead. And that same mighty power will help us live morally renewed and regenerated lives. But before we can walk in the newness of life, we must also learn to die to sin and to die to self. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, that's right. Sometimes it's a little difficult for others. Some sins doesn't affect me. And then some sins that I experience may affect others. But see, we're all made differently. Not everything offends us. And so we have to be real careful. We can't be judgmental. Can I get an amen? You know what you're struggling in. So this is why you lift it up to the Lord. Say, God, help me. Help me in this area where I'm weak. And watch God come in strong and mighty. Why? He's waiting for us to acknowledge that we're weak. He's waiting for us to say, oh God, I need you. We need you. Oh God, help me not hide these certain sins of my life, that I may live to glorify you and magnify you, that you would continue to anoint my lips and anoint my hands, anoint my mind, my being, that I would proclaim you in all that we do, all that I do, praise God. And so, saints of God, just as Christ's resurrection gives us his power to live for him, his crucifixion marks the death of our old sinful nature. That's right. We can't know the victory of the resurrection without personally, saints of God, applying the crucifixion to our life. Can I get an amen? So let's move on now. Let's move on to verse 11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Man, this is Paul. Paul, I'm telling you, Paul was deep in the things of God. He wanted to know his Savior. Why? You got to remember, we read last week, you know, he's from the line of Benjamin. You know, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. This man was the attorney of the day. This man was one of the followers of Gamaliel. And yet, all of it didn't mean anything to Paul when he got saved. He just wanted to learn who Christ was in his life. And that should be our desire. Despite of all the accolades, despite of everything we've attained in this world, it's a bunch of rubble. To me, to you, it should be. But to God, we want to know Him and the sufferings and everything, every aspect that Jesus went through, so that you and I, hallelujah, can share with others that while they go through sufferings and afflictions, we'll know how to minister to them. No differently how Paul ministers to us as we read line by line, precept upon precept, book by book, and knowing the life that the apostles had lived in order that we would have, hallelujah, the Word of God here today in the year 2022. Praise God. So, saints of God, when Paul, when he wrote, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection, he was not implying uncertainty or doubt that he would be resurrected. No, not at all. Rather, this was a way of humbly stating that he trusted in God for his complete salvation from regeneration to resurrection. Wow. Paul did not doubt the fact that he would be what? Raised. Nuh-uh. He was convinced. Remember, God gave him a glimpse of the third heaven. But how he would experience the resurrection was within God's plan and power and not his own. Praise God. You see, saints of God, confident of God's care and blessing, Paul turns toward salvation as if he is in a marathon. He wanted to attain, praise God, the finish line without quitting. And saints of God, you and I know people right now that have quit it. They have dropped the baton. They have left the race. They went back into the stands. Some of them have left the game. But you and I are called, hallelujah, to intercede for them. I'm praying that God leave the 99 to go get that one again. We're praying that God will bring them back into the fold. Many of them started out strong. Many of them were with us and many other churches strong in the power of His might. And then COVID came and it side-railed them. It derailed them. And they can't get back to where they were. Some of them are just out there in a daze, not knowing that God had called them for such a time as this. Saints, this is a serious matter for those who have stepped away, who have walked away. Paul wanted to finish the race. He wanted to complete the race. And that should be your desire and my desire. Can I get an amen? We should want to continue until we cross that finish line. And it doesn't have to be as fast as the road runner. No, we can be slow like a turtle, but yet cross the finish line. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, Saints Paul, he was not making a point about eternal security in his wording. Rather, he was announcing his dramatic and full commitment to persevere in the foot race of spirituality, never giving up until the finish line where Jesus stands ready with the crown. Praise God. Praise God. How many can't wait to see Jesus say, "Good and faithful servant, well done, enter into the joy of the Lord." Wow. Wow. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which is Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Did you catch that? It's God who lays hold of us. And when He lays hold of us, saints of God, we are to never let go. Never let go of God. Never let go of His grace and His mercy. Even when we fail, when we slip and fall, just get back up and say, "Oh God, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me. But I want to press. I want to keep on walking toward You, God. I know if I turn my back, there's no protection on the backside." You see, Paul always painted the salvation as a Roman soldier. The armor of a Roman soldier, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, that's right. He would paint everything. The loins girded up with the word. Praise God. The feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Our sword is the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And our shield of faith. My goodness. All these, Paul described like a Roman soldier that went forward. But my friends, if we do an about face like that, we have no armor in the back. And the arrows will come. And it will debilitate many of those who have walked away. You see, saints of God, Paul saw the Christian life as a process. While believers are considered righteous when they accept salvation, their entire lives are marked by growth toward being Christ-likeness. Complete perfection, saints of God, I need you to hear this now, but complete perfection will not be obtained until Christ's second coming, when he will take his people with him, praise God. And while Paul may have seemed like a nearly perfect Christian to his Philippian friends, he emphasized that he had not achieved perfect knowledge of Christ, the power of his resurrection, or sharing of his suffering and death. All of these were part of the process of sanctification. Did you catch that, saints of God? We are going through a process, and that process is called sanctification, set apart for his good will and purpose, of working toward that day when we can be all together with Christ Jesus. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't. You see, Jesus saved us to be and wants us to be all that he wants us to be. That soldier for Christ, that man, that woman who would surrender and give their whole entire being to him, that God could use us in a mighty way. And I'm so blessed to know the saints of God at Amazing Grace and many other wonderful saints and other fellowships, how God is using you, how God is using me. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now. Let's move on to verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, unlike the Judaizers, Paul did not consider that he had achieved spiritual maturity. Oh, no. And neither have we. That's right. We are going through the process through bumps and bruises. But Jesus said, stay on the narrow path. Jesus, throughout the scriptures of the gospel, says, broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the path of those who find it and find eternal life. Praise God. We are counted in that narrow road. Praise God. And I'd rather be on this narrow road, because broad is the way that many of them are falling into a pit of hell. Do you know there's people that are going to die in their sin and fall right into hell? But you and I, we've been blessed, hallelujah, that we have now the Spirit of God, and we will be with him forevermore. Praise God. And God confirms that in his word. Praise God. You see, Paul did not consider that he had achieved spiritual maturity, saints of God. He was not at all that he knew what he should, but he lived in absolute confidence of his ultimate salvation. Praise God. You see, my friends, Christians know they will be saved. Can I get an amen? Yes, we all know we're in the saving process, and we will at the very end be taken home with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet they must have perfection as their goal, while not pretending that sin does not exist. Can I get an amen? Listen, Jesus mentioned this in the book of Matthew. Let's go there for a moment. Look at this. He wrote this: Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Did you catch that? See, people get a wrong idea about what he just said. He's not saying that we're going to be perfect in this body of flesh. No. He says when the transformation takes place and we get the new body, and we will be with him forever, we will be then perfect like he is. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? But until that time comes, we are being perfected in this body of flesh. Never perfect, but we're being perfected. We're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, teaching us, and applying God's word for daily application. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God has it all figured out, my friends? But I want you to catch this for a moment. Look at this. In 1 John 1, 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Now look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Are you catching that, saints of God? You see, as we live in this body of flesh, there is sin in our life. But the original sin that takes someone to hell has been covered by the blood. This is why I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Because God has sealed us, hallelujah, for eternity. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can snatch us out of God's hand. We are forever sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? That's right. You need to know that God loves you and he sealed you. He saved you. But some of you are listening that maybe never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we can deal with this problem in just a moment. But saints of God, like Paul, they should be focusing on one goal. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You see, the past should not be used as a barrier to the future, as an excuse for dropping out or for avoiding proper spiritual conduct in their relationship with God. No, no, no. We're new creatures in Christ. We need to press. We need to look at the old man as that thing is gone away. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed? I remember last Sunday, there was a group of us that had lunch right after the healing rooms. And I was reminding myself and sharing what God delivered us from. And God did not remove that memory. Why? So that we can always remember that one or many things that we were involved in, how God had mercy, how God had grace, how God delivered us from darkness, hallelujah, and transformed us in the light of his dear son. Praise God. It was a miracle. Well, see, saints, Paul would forget his past with all his credentials and accomplishments and sins, and like a runner in a race with his whole body reaching for the finish line. He would press on toward that goal, praise God. And that's what you and I should always have in mind, to press. So now, let's look at verse 14 where he mentions that. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, saints, as a runner training toward the finish line, and he's training and he's racing and he's running for that finish line, Paul pressed on to reach the end of that race and receive the prize. And while Paul didn't identify the prize, it seems from his writing above that the prize refers to gaining the full knowledge of Christ. I rather know everything and obtain the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of God. Because right now, we see through a glass half full. We don't see everything right now. God has not shown us the entire glory. But when we are changed and transformed, we have the new body, we will be like him, and we will have obtained everything that he has. Praise God. That's right. Look at this, what is written right here in 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may what? Obtain it. Obtain it, saints of God. That's right, obtain it. Look what was written in 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this, I have fought the good fight of faith. Look at this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Notice capital D, that day. And not to me only, but also to all. Say that with me at home. To all who have loved ones. Look at this. Who have loved his appearing. Now, I want you to catch this for a moment. This is the problem with the church, today's church. No one is looking for his appearing in many churches. There is a handful that know that he's coming again, that we are to look. But let's look at that last verse of scripture. Look what it says. It says, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, here's the key, but also to all who have loved his what? Appearing. Saints of God, I have talked to many Christians, and I always ask, you know, we're seeing the signs, you know, Jesus is coming back. And they look at me with a foggy look. And I get it. I get it. Some of them are still attached, like Lot's wife, to this world. Some of them can't know how to let go, and they are so intertwined with this world, with the culture, with their business, with their finance, with their loved ones, and they don't have a clue that God's going to change all things in the twinkling of an eye, in a heartbeat, and we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. God is wanting people, hallelujah, that will love his appearing. And this is why at the very end of every Wednesday, I'm always talking about Jesus coming back for his church. Why? Because I need you to be reminded daily, weekly, monthly, that Jesus is coming again for us. Can I get an amen? And if I stop doing that, I haven't done my business. I would be like the rest. I would leave the game field and go back into the stands. Saints, Paul aimed to win the prize. I hope you know that. But all who finish the race win it as well, as I just mentioned. The full knowledge of Christ is the final prize for which believers gladly lay aside all else. For this prize, Christ Jesus is calling us, you and me. He's calling us up to heaven. Praise God. Some think this refers to the rapture. Others say it means the call to be saved. Still others connect it to the high purpose or high vocation of Paul as an apostle. Despite of it all, God has included you and me. Yet because of Paul's use of the metaphor of athletic games, saints of God, it seems more natural to understand the call as the calling of athletes up to the winner's stand. Praise God. You know, those in the Olympics, we just saw them just a month ago or so, there was three podiums. There was bronze, silver, and gold. And there was a podium, and a prize was given to the one with gold who won everything. Just imagine we're in heaven, and God crowns us with righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Man, it's going to be a day like no other. Praise God, praise God. And I can't wait. I can't wait, saints of God. The heavenly call is the summons to win the victor's prize of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So we're going, as we come in for a close, we're going to our last verse of scripture right here, found in verse 15. Therefore, let us, say that at home, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Praise God, praise God. Saints of God, after Paul described his spiritual goals, he explained to the Philippians that all the mature Christians should agree on these things, that they too ought to be pressing on toward the goal. You see, my friends, mature believers would understand that they could not, in their own humanity, gain perfection and acceptance by God, as opposed to the teachings of the Judaizers. Yet because of their love for Christ, they willingly pressed on to follow the example in order to become more like Him in life, and all while knowing that they were promised to know Him fully upon their death at His return. And so the phrase, "if you disagree on some point," betrays some of the problems that faced the Philippian church. Paul made clear that those who were truly mature, those who realized their dependence on God, they pressed on, not to make themselves good enough or to gain credentials by their accomplishments. Rather, they pressed on to know their Savior better. Praise God. Praise God. And that should be us. And whatever problem of pride, saints of God, may have threatened to divide the Philippian church, Paul stopped it right away. He stopped it in its tracks. And this is what you and I, when we hear people gossip and complain and bicker, stop it in their track and just pray. So I need to pray for you that God will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we should not want to hear negative stuff about other saints or about what's going on. That we would bring it to the cross. And this was the final word on the matter. Paul invoked the illumination of God Himself to make plain the truth of His word, saints of God. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that God has given us, the church, an opportunity to share with this dying world the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many believe soon and very soon Jesus is coming? Oh yes, He's coming, saints of God. We see the signs. We see everything that Jesus said we would see. Wars, rumors of wars. We're seeing deception. We're seeing earthquakes in various places connected with volcanoes. We're seeing the pestilence, the COVID-19 that still is lurking around. We're seeing famines. We're seeing massive inflation around the world, which is causing famines around the world. People have no water and no food in these third world countries because of the inflation around the world. My friends, we're living right now in perilous times. They're very turbulent right now. But there's hope. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we are compelled, we are driven by the Holy Spirit to give us hope, a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for those who love Him. We just read, He's coming for those who love and are waiting for His appearance. You have to have a love of Christ in you to look for His appearing, because He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come and take His bride home. And I've got proof in the pudding. If you're watching for the very first time, let's go there right now. It's found in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He wrote this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself," say that with me at home, "for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we," say that with me at home, "then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up," look at this, "caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." This is what this verses of scripture that we taught tonight, Paul understood as he wrote this, that this would be a future time, a time that you and I can honestly say we're that generation that are seeing the signs that not only Paul wrote, but Jesus wrote in the Gospels. And my friends, right behind me, Christ is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. and all the nations will come up and worship the King. Praise God. This is why I feel homesick. This is why I feel like that's my home over there, what you see behind me. That's the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. But it's going to be so fast, the change. It's going to be lightning speed, faster than the speed of light, more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding, faster than Superman. It's going to be so fast that we won't even have time to think. We're going to be in our brand new body that fast. Oh, that's right. I got proof. Let's go to Corinthians right here. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corrupted inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised what? Incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, this body of flesh that we're living in right now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, that's the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Man, I'm telling you, I can't wait for that moment. I can't wait for that moment. Listen, my friends, if you're logged in for the very first time, maybe second, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, meaning you've never truly repented and then washed in the blood of the Lamb, washed with Jesus' blood, and filled with this Holy Spirit. My friends, if that has not yet happened in your life, and you're still contemplating Christianity, Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come unannounced to those who are not looking for him, and you don't want this to happen to you. Take a look at this right now.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
That's always going to be the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you be left behind like these people in this video clip? That was a picture of those who maybe came to church once in a while, or maybe they were raised in church, but they never been born again. And they were not being in the church. They were just playing church. Don't let this happen to you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. But God makes a way in his word. And God has an order. And the very first thing we deal with as a sinner is acknowledge Jesus Christ and repent from our sins. And so let's look at this verse of scripture right here, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Peter the apostle preached his very first sermon, and it went just like this. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. There it is. There it is, my friend. It's quite simple. It's quite simple. All you have to do is cry out to God. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody just gave their heart to Christ. Listen, down below, you'll see it right there. Down below is our website. I want you to log on. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible if you never had a Bible before. And we also want to point you to a good church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. No matter what town you live in, reach out to us. We'll point you to a good one. And so, my friends, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be in the book of Philippians. And I'm so very thankful that you've allowed me to come into your living rooms this evening. I hope you are blessed. And I look forward to seeing you all next Sunday morning at 10:30, live in-person service. We're located in beautiful Bonita, California. Our address is 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. I know that God is going to meet us there once again. And I'm mighty thankful. Also, I'm thankful for all those who continue to send donations our way. Down below is our website, for donations are deeply appreciated. So, my friends, it's time to say goodnight. And we just want to say thank you once again. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, allow me to send our benediction as we end tonight's Bible study. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So my friends, we love you guys. God bless you. And we will see you next Sunday at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah, we give you the praise.